Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I thank God for the good revival that we had. I thank God for the good homecoming that we've had. And I thank God for the homegoing that we're going to have.
Amen.
And I thank God this morning as we look into His Word of Ephesians 3 this morning that God made a way for the Gentile people. The Jews were His chosen people, but they rejected Him, but God made a way. And through Paul's preaching here that we're going to read about, and through Paul's life there, we know that God spoke to Paul
and told him to go into to the Gentile people and to share the Word of God with them. I thank God that He come to us, that we could be saved, that we could hear the Word and receive the blessed promise of Jesus Christ and His salvation. And I thank God this morning that He didn't just come to die for just a certain group, but we thank God that He has died for all mankind, that we can be saved this morning. And I thank God for that. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "For this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." We see here that Paul was a prisoner to Jesus for us, to bring us the Word, that he would be submissive unto Jesus, that he was held in the bonds of working for the Gentile people to get the Word out through Jesus Christ, that he felt bound to Jesus to do that, to be His prisoner, to be in total subjection to Him, to be obedient unto Him. And we thank God that Paul was, and that he brought us the message, that one of the greatest persecutors there ever was of the church became one of the greatest preachers to the church. And we know the church wasn't talked about in the Old Testament. We don't see the church mentioned until in the New Testament, but I thank God that he made provision for His people, the church, the bride, that is coming together, that one day is going to meet Jesus in heaven. I'm thankful that I am already prepared to be able to meet Him there. In verse 2 it says, "If you had heard of the dispensation of grace of God which is given me to you ward." He's saying, listen, God has given me something to share with you, that not only the Jews, God's chosen people, but that you can know salvation through Jesus Christ, that God has revealed to me the secret to tell you that you can have the same thing as God's chosen nation. "He that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote aforetime in few words, whereby when we read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Now I know sometimes today when we read God's Word that it seems like it's a mystery, that it's in secret, that it's in some kind of code that we can't understand. But that's not what God intends for His Word to be. Sometimes we don't understand it because we are not grown enough spiritually that we can receive what it's trying to tell us. We have to get little pieces here and there, but the mystery will be revealed. How many of you ever played Clue as children? Nobody? Hire, I can't see, remember? Alan's got it down pat. Alan does this when he wants my attention. He got that. That's what everybody needs to do, just do that. But you played Clue and you got little clues every once in a while, and you tried to figure out if it was Colonel Mustard in the library with the monkey wrench. I don't think monkey wrench, I think it was candlestick, something like that. But you tried to figure out, but you got a little clue each time. It's the same way with God's Word. Sometimes it seems like a mystery to us, and every once in a while we'll get a clue because we are in tune with God, and it's revealed to us, and it shows us just a little bit more of the mystery, and we're able to understand it. How are we going to reveal what the mystery is? I know some of you like to watch CSI and NCIS and all these shows that's on TV, and Criminal Minds and all these. I think some of them give people ammunition to go out here and do some of this thing because they show, "I almost got away with it." And it tells where they messed up, so the next one going down the road, he'll know what to do so he can get by with it. Don't make good sense to me, but we're putting it out there for people to see. But we get a little bit of the mystery. How are we going to know the mystery and see it unveiled to us? We've got to read and we study and we've got to put our nose into it. We've got to be like Sherlock Holmes. And I don't mean you have to put on the hat that's got two bills on it and get you a magnifying glass. But you need to get into the Word and look at the clues, that God can reveal the mystery as He revealed it to Paul, as Paul was here being a servant to God to reveal the mystery to us, that we're still reading about it all these many years later since Paul wrote to the Ephesians, that still we are reading about it, that the mystery may be revealed and opened up unto us, that we can understand more of the mystery of God. He don't want it to be a mystery. He wants to reveal it to us to be a revelation. Then remember, the book of Revelation wasn't the revelation of John. It's the revelations of Jesus. And that revelation is in the final days is going to be when He comes after He's raptured the church and He comes and establishes His kingdom. That's going to be the revelation of Jesus the second time as he comes back to the earth, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. If you remember in the Old Testament, the prophecies that were given, the word that was given was for the nation Israel, that they were going to have a Messiah to come. The twofold prophecy of a suffering Messiah and a great Masonic king that was coming that they were looking for. And they wanted the great king, so that's the line that they followed. But I'm glad we had the suffering Savior, that we as Gentiles, we see his birth as he came down to Mary in the Holy Spirit overshadowing her and him being born and coming into this world to take on the robe of flesh, that he could be my near kinsman to pay my sin debt. It's part of the mystery that the Jews still can't wrap their mind around, because they're still looking for the great king. Let me tell you, I'm looking for the great king, but I'm glad I saw the suffering Messiah that died for me, that gave me a way possible for salvation. It's been revealed unto his holy apostles. It's been revealed to those the prophets by the Spirit, that God has opened up his heaven even to us Gentile people. Who at one time, if the Israelite people had done what they were supposed to, the Gentile people would have been wiped out. There would have been no other nations. Because he told them when they went in to take their land that they were to utterly destroy those other nations. But they didn't do what they were supposed to. We wouldn't have some of the trouble we've got in the Middle East if Israel had just been obedient in the beginning. We wouldn't have some of the things that's going on now. But God knew that they wouldn't carry through with their orders. But we thank God that he gave us a Savior. Amen. And that he revealed it to his prophets and to his holy apostles by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. Being a fellow heir with Jesus. Amen. Being a fellow heir and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The good news that has come to us, that we're fellow heirs with Jesus, that we're fellow heirs together with the Jewish nation, those that have accepted him, those that look back and say, hey, Jesus was the Messiah. He came, and he came in the way that he did, just as it was prophesied. Those that have had their eyes open and that have got saved through the salvation of God through Jesus Christ, that we're going to be fellow heirs together. No one's going to have a bigger part than I've got, and I'm not going to have a bigger part than you've got. Thank God we are heirs with Jesus and what God has in store for his people. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. I want to tell you, like I said, this was the last job on earth I ever thought I would do. I never ever, when I was growing up, said, I want to be a preacher. I don't think it ever entered my mind that I'd ever stand behind this book board and be doing what I'm doing today. Never one time thought about it. But God had other plans. It was by his power, and it's by his power still that I'm able to stand. I can't stand on my own. Because if I'd done it my own power, my knees would be a-knocking, my voice would be a-breaking, and I wouldn't have a thing to say. But it's all from the power of God, and by his power through Christ Jesus. Through him I have all things. Without him I have nothing. And I thank God that he said that he owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. Now, I don't know, but I don't have too many cows on that little half acre down yonder at Sparta on Grandview Drive. Ain't enough grass there to graze many cows, especially 1,000. But let me tell you, my father, he got it all. He owns the cattle, he owns the grass, he owns the hills. Thank God that he is one that's in charge, that he owns it all. And he gave it to me to be a fellow heir. Amen. A fellow heir. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. Grace. Grace. That's something we take too much advantage of, the grace of God. We don't live in fear of God. We don't have a respect of God like we one time did in our nation. We don't have a respect for his word. We don't have a respect for his people. We don't have respect for one another. But it's the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of the power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is his grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Do you feel that you're the least among the saints of God? Or do you feel that you're up on a little higher plane? I've seen a preacher too. I think they thought they was on a higher plane. They was above sin. They was above reproach. They was above anything. Just because they had the title of being a preacher. Well, last time I checked, if you cut me, I bleed. If you hurt me, my feelings hurt. You make fun of me, I'm going to make fun of you. And if you don't make fun of me, I'm liable to get... No. Stephen was here, he had amen at all of them. But we're human. We're all human. And I'm no more susceptible to sin than you are. I should know better, yes. I should have studied more and know where Satan's going to attack me more. I should have my defenses up. But every once in a while, Satan will creep in and the old flesh, he'll, you know, you're right, you're kind of tired. I heard one time this guy, he was sitting there and he was talking to his wife. He said, I ain't going to church this Sunday. He said, half of people don't like me, another half can't stand me. Said, every time I go, said, it seems like somebody else got something wrong with me. And I just don't think anybody down there at the church house likes me anymore. She says, honey, you've got to go. He says, you tell me one reason why I've got to go. She said, you're the pastor. He was in the flesh. He was worried about the congregation and wasn't worried about doing his job for God. Sometimes we get in the flesh. We need to get back to the Spirit. But I'm thankful through His power. I'm thankful through His calling. I'm thankful through Him and through that I am the least among His saints. I just thank God that He walks with me daily and He's the one that shows me what I need to do. And I look at His picture and what He wants and I look in His Word and He says, do this. And when He tells me that, I know that's what I'm supposed to do. I don't want to bargain with Him. You ever try to bargain with God? I'm sure He sets up Ernie's things sometimes when we're saying, now, Lord, you know there's other people out there that can do this a lot better than I can. You know, I'm going to take too much time. Who said? God said do it. It's His time. Remember, He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns all the clocks, too. He's in charge of them all. Matter of fact, He made them back up. Don't make me pray that the clock back up while I'm preaching. We want to move forward. We want to move forward for God. Amen. But to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Have we tapped in to what Christ has totally in store for us? No. No, we've not even scratched the surface good. Not even scratched the surface of what God has got in store for us. Now, I see Lacey J on Facebook. Boy, she's into that couponing thing. Yeah, I got on there so I can find out what's going on with everybody. Boy, she likes that coupon thing. She can go and she, if you've watched that extreme couponing on TV, they go and they get paid for grocery shopping. I don't know how they do it. I wouldn't have that much patience. But they search those coupons out. They search the places that give them twice as much for the coupon. They find the bargains and they look and they really get into it. They get into that so they can enjoy the riches of their bounty of going shopping and saving money. We need to do the same thing with God's Word. We need to spend some hours instead of going through the newspaper flyer to find the, I know I'm talking country, I ain't talking about flyers. I'm talking about them papers they put in there. Flyers or however you say that. Find out what the deal is. Buy one, get one. And all these things, boy, we look for those things. We want those things. We go to the clearance rack because we want to find out what clearance is put on sale. But we go and we look for those deals. Do we look for the deals that God has for us in His Word? God don't want us to go to the bargain bin when it comes to His Word. He wants us to be able to get it right off the top shelf. Amen. Number one. He's provided it for us if we'll just go and search for it. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Wasn't Darwin. Wasn't just by evolution that things have happened. To the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Church, it tells us right in God's Word that we are to know God's wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God. But do we know it like we should? Do we study it? Do we search it out? Do we look for those mysteries? Do we look for the understanding? If we go to school and we don't never open a book, and we don't do our homework, what do we expect on report cards? An A? For that attaboy? No, we're not going to get an A for an attaboy. We're probably going to get an F for failure, or U for unsatisfactory. Might even be on there, what are you doing at school? You don't never study. You don't never try. What if God give us a report card? What would yours look like? I remember whenever I'd get mine, I liked to, when I was younger, seeing them S's and S pluses on there. I don't even know if they do that anymore. Oh, boy, that's good. Them's all on there and ain't no U's and ain't no I's. I know everything was good. And when they started putting them A's, B's, and C's on there, I got a little more worried. I know the alphabet would go down that far when you're in school. But I had good teachers that knew I could do better and forced me. And God knows we can do better. He don't force us. He gives us still opportunity. We can have as close a relationship and know as much about His Word as we want to. Amen. As we want to. Shame on us for not knowing it. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness. Do you have boldness? When somebody starts talking about Christ, do you cringe and say, I don't want to get involved with this. I don't want to witness. No, I don't want nobody to even know I go to church. Lord, get me out of here. Lord might have put you there for a reason. Because we're supposed to have boldness. Amen. You know one reason we don't have boldness in proclaiming God's Word? We don't know it. Mm-hmm. We don't know it, so we don't show it. We say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. What do you know about His Bible? It's got 66 books, I think. It's got an Old and New Testament, I think. It's up to date, I think. We should know and be able to have boldness by accessing the boldness through Christ Jesus, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Confidence. Do we have confidence in serving Jesus? Why don't we have confidence? Once again, we don't have a strong enough relationship to have confidence. We're not walking close enough to have confidence in being able to witness to people about Jesus because we don't know enough ourselves. But Paul said it was his job to reveal to the Gentiles the mysteries of God. Now all these years later, it has become my job to help reveal the mysteries of God. Guess what? Parents, it's your job to help reveal the mysteries to your children of the Word of God. It is our responsibility as Christians to help reveal the mystery of God's Word. So we need to study to know it, that we can reveal those mysteries and that they be revealed to us in confidence and boldness. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family in heaven and earth. You know, part of the church is waiting on us. Part of the church is already waiting on us. The bride has been partially taken out. But one day we're going to be gathered together as a bride adorned for her bridegroom. His name's Jesus. We're going to be the bride. We are the bride and we are His family gathered here on earth and in heaven. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. When I read this, I don't know why, but maybe this is for the illustration. When I read that about the strength for the inner man. Now, Justin, he's been working out and doing all this stuff, and he's been getting stronger, and he'll do that, and them old muscles will pop up and all this stuff, you know. And he's working out, and he's squatting them with that weight rack and doing the leg presses and all that stuff, and he'd grab that bar and do that number and go plumb over top of it and back down. I think he calls it a muscle up. I'm lucky if I can just get my muscles up. But anyway, oh, he can do all that, and he's worked, and he's got built up, and he's got the job at the prison, and he's going to be starting there in September the 10th, training and all that stuff, and working on that body. And I'm thinking, boy, if you could just see my inner body. See that Holy Spirit, how he's been strengthened by, boy, he does that double bicep pump, and they just keep popping up like Popeye. That inner man strengthened by the Holy Spirit of God. Undefeatable, the Holy Spirit of God. That strengthens my inner man. But some of our inner men and women were weak because we ain't been working out with God. We've not been doing our Bible ups and our page turnings. We've not been squatting for a while on a verse that we don't understand, asking God to help us, that under the weight of that verse that we'd be able to stand back up and proclaim it with the boldness and confidence. We've not been working out with God's word that our inner man gets stronger. We just depend on someone else to do the work. It was like whenever I was needing to lose weight, and they told me I needed to find a program. I did. And I bought the tapes and I watched them. Didn't lose a pound. My doctor said, you've got to do it with them. I said, that's what Sandra said. It's the same way with serving God. We can buy the book and it can sit on the shelf, but if we don't open it, it's not going to do us any good. We don't lay eyes on it. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. A few weeks ago, we was talking about the good grounds and the hard grounds and the different things. We got to be rooted in the Word of God. We got to be rooted and grounded in His Word. Amen. Now, whenever you've got a plan out here, now this year we've had them about drown because we've had so much rain. A lot of things got stunted and different things. But it's got to be rooted good in the ground to be able to survive. It's got to have contact with the dirt. It's got to have the nutrients that it needs to be able to survive and grow like it's supposed to. Electricity, for it to work right, it's got to be grounded. Or you're going to have flickering lights and blowing light bulbs, and you might get a shock every once in a while. But you got to be grounded. It's the same way with our Christian life. We need to be rooted and grounded in the power of Jesus Christ. We got to be rooted in the good soil and allow Him to put the nutrients to us that we can grow and prosper in Jesus to produce the good fruit. But rooted and grounded in love. In love, not torment, not hatred, not unforgiveness, but it says in love. That's a great power. Love. Jesus was the shining example of love. And that great power. It may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Are you full of the fullness of God today? Is there any avenue of your soul that needs more God in it? If there is, then we need to talk to God and say, fill me up. I'm going to tell you, it's very easy sometimes. We can't say I'm full, because most of the time we're half empty instead of half full. Sometimes in this world that we live, it's hard to be a optimist because we're so pessimistic. Ever hate to say that word? And just can't you say that right now? We look on the negative of everything. Never happy about nothing. We need to get on the other side of that and look for the positive in it. Look for the positive in it. The other week, we was going through things, and stuff. It seemed like one thing after another was a hit, and then boom, and boom, and boom. And we said, God's got to be fixing to bless us with something. Ain't so much other the devil's trying to do to hinder it. There's got to be a good blessing coming. Because I sat down and said, woe is me. This Christian life's just too hard. We knew God was preparing to do something for us because Satan didn't like it. So just remember that. Through His knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. And when He blesses, thank Him for it. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask of or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory and the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God's still telling us, church, it's time for us to still continue. It's still time for us to reveal the mysteries, as we've had those that's come from Sunday school and continue to come, or from Bible school and coming for Sunday school and church and different things. They're having their eyes open with the Word of God. We're able to teach them and show them and try to instruct them. We need to continue that with everybody that we meet. There's people you're going to meet in your jobs that may never darken the door of this church, but you can be a witness to them. You can help, if you know by boldness and confidence through the Spirit of God, that you're able to witness to them. You can change a life. You can change a life. Are we ready to reveal the mystery? Do we know enough about it that we can share it? Can we have confidence in serving God? Do we have confidence in serving God? I know there's people that preach, well, I don't ever study about what I'm going to preach on, because God said if I'd open my mouth, he'd fill it. Sometimes it sounds like it. They've never studied at all. Don't know the Word of God and what it says. Take it out of context and preach something totally different than what the Bible's even talk about. You can't just take one word out of the Word of God and make it say what you want to. God's not pleased with that. He said take the entire book. Take it all from Genesis to Revelation. It's all my word. But do we have confidence? Do we have boldness? Are we filled with the fullness of God? Are we able to reveal the mysteries? Are we as Paul, that's been revealed to him by God to give to us Gentiles? Are we ready to give to other Gentiles or share with the Jews that we might come in contact with? Are we ready to share with our grandchildren? Someone else's grandchildren, someone else's children, the mysteries of God. It should be on our heart, ready to do at a moment's notice. And friend, if you're here today, God is ready to save you if you're lost. He said He loves you. He's revealed the mystery of salvation through Jesus, that you can be saved. No longer held back from the Gentile people, but given to all, whosoever will come to Him. Will you come to Him this morning as they get a song of invitation prepared? Will you come? Will you surrender to Jesus? Will you become His prisoner? But see, the greatest thing about becoming a prisoner of Jesus is you're still free. Amen. You're still free. You're freed from the bondage that you was under. I told Justin, I said, well, there's one thing, because he wanted to be a state patrolman, and I admired him for wanting to do that, and then with his eyes being too bad, he couldn't, and now that he's going to be a corrections officer and being there, I said, well, being a highway patrolman, you never know what you're going to walk up on. I said, in there, you know everybody's guilty. So watch them all. You know all of them's guilty, and we were all guilty. One day, we were all guilty. We were all destined by sin to go to hell. But Jesus came by and set us free. I became His prisoner. And He said, you're free. You're free. You serve me, but you're free. Friend, this morning He wants to release you from the bondage you're in and set you free. Set you free. If you will, stand to your feet. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. No one's looking over the church. Me and Jesus. God's dealt with your heart this morning. You know that you're lost, that you need to be saved. Today is the greatest day I know to start serving Jesus. Would you just lift your hand and say, preacher, I'm lost and I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Will you pray for me? I'll be glad to pray for you. If you'll just lift your hand, let me know. God's dealing with your heart for salvation. God bless that hand. Anyone else, be honest just with God. Be honest with God. You're not doing it to please me, but you're doing it because God's dealing with your heart. So one anywhere, just lift your hand. Say, hello. I want to be saved, preacher. I know the Lord's dealing with my heart. Pray for me. Preacher, I'm not got the boldness or the confidence that I should have because I've not studied out the mystery of God. I know I'm saved, but I've been satisfied right there. And I've not studied His Word like I ought to. I don't know much about it. But I don't want to stay there. I want God to help me reveal His mystery to me that I'll know more about Him. That I can serve Him with confidence and can serve Him with boldness. Would you just lift your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me." God bless that hand. Bless that hand. Any others? Any others anywhere? Just be honest between you and God. God bless that hand. Bless that hand. This morning, if anyone's got a need on your heart, will you come and lay it at Jesus' feet on the altar? Whatever it might be, if you're lost, come get saved. If you're saved but just not walked with confidence and boldness, come and God will give it to you. If you're worried about the mystery, come and ask Jesus to reveal it to you. He'll show you. Will you come? Will you come? You may be seated where you are. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your many blessings, God. We ask that You would help us, dear God, to reveal the mystery, dear Heavenly Father, of Your Word to those that are lost without You, dear God, that we can show them, dear Heavenly Father, through Your Word, and but most of all, that Your sweet Spirit is working, dear Heavenly Father, that our inner man is strong because we study Your Word, and that we are working out with Your Word, dear God, to give us strength, to give us understanding of the mystery, that we can serve You with boldness and with confidence, dear God, of the Word of God. And dear Heavenly Father, that we don't have to run, that we don't have to waver, that we don't have to be weary in well-doing, God, that You give us strength continually. Dear God, that we can mount up on the wings of angels and the wings of eagles, dear God, and soar above the troubles and trials of this life that we may show others You and Your love, dear God, we pray. We ask that You would be with those that's not with us today for whatever reason, that many at homecomings and many that's traveling and singing today, dear God, and we just pray for all the ones, dear Heavenly Father. We thank You for the new baby that's born and know that a lot of the family's there with her today, God, and we just pray a special blessing upon them as Kenley's made it here, Kenley Angel, Lord, and we just thank You for her being here in this world, dear God, and ask You to bless her life, dear God, and watch over and protect her. We thank You for Zach and Courtney, Lord, and ask Your protection upon them as they wait to bring their son into the world, Lord, and we just pray that You'd be with them, watch over them. We thank You for Olivia, dear God, and the different ones that have been born here. And dear God, that You just continue to strengthen them, dear God, and as they be taught in Your Word, that You lay a foundation in their heart from an early age, that they know You, Lord, and that You would keep them safe from troubles and trials of this old life. And God, we pray for the one that's come this morning to the altar, Lord, whatever the need might be, Lord, that You would give her strength, dear God, to receive, dear Lord, the blessings from You. And dear Heavenly Father, that You would give us all the strength to be able in this world and life that we live to share Jesus and share Him with a confidence because we know His Word and we know that He's true. And Lord, we thank You for being our all in all and for You coming and revealing Yourself to the Gentile world as well, that we can have a Savior as well. God, we thank You for the heaven that You've prepared and the one day that we'll be there because You've paid our price and that we can be able to live with You forever and in an eternity of peace and joy. God, we thank You. We ask Your special blessings upon the church family here today. God, we ask You to watch over and protect each one. Some that's had to leave early, God, You put Your hand of protection on them as they were traveling to family reunions and different things, God. Some may be working, Lord. We just pray that You'd watch over and protect them all. Give them safe traveling, grace and mercy until we all meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.